a national emergency. Everybody's been sent home from work. It's Tuesday, Black Tuesday in Tasmania, and it's 4:05, and I can't even see what the time is on my watch as I sit here in the sitting room, because there's not enough light. In the meantime, with my portable transistorised tape recorder, I see that it is, it is 4:10. I can't even see the date, but I think it's the 7th, which shows you how rough things are over here. Normally at this time of the year, the sun is shining brightly and all is well, but we've had tremendous winds today. Everybody's been sent home for work. The governor has declared an emergency. All the public servants went home at about 4:00. Across the valley, I look out, I can see nothing but a red haze, but over on Fisher's Avenue, I see a car's headlights going along in the dark. I can't see anything past George Partika's place. I can't see anything... I just can't see anything else except the houses next door to it. George came home from school early, all is well, and the transistor radio is working. I've mentioned transistor portable as well, and this is because the power's been off for an hour or so, but we shouldn't complain, at least we've got a house, and most people haven't at this stage. Well, not most people, but I should say at least a dozen have gone already. Listen to the radio.
...to St John's, Glenorchy, to be boarded out overnight, not to worry.
Ken, may I interrupt you there for one moment?
Certainly.
The situation, ladies and gentlemen, it's annoying, it's most worrying, but the important thing to remember is this. Under no circumstances should you become unduly panicked. I might sound to be a bit panicky at the moment. Can I race up the stairs? you need not become panicked, and people are rather prone to drive in a manner which normally would be regarded as dangerous. Now, please take it easy. Settle down. There's no need for panic in the majority of cases. And this is the thing we want to avoid. Please do not panic. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you very much, Mr. Howe. It's better not to panic, or otherwise you won't get there at all. So take it easy, put your lights on dim, and travel very, very slowly at all times. It's now 4:11. Philip Casala of 19 Gardenia Road, Risdon Vale, is at the Tasmanian Stevedoring for his parents to pick him up. He's waiting at the Tasmanian Stevedoring industry there for his parents to pick him up. Mrs. Shea of Howrah is anxious to contact Mr. and Mrs. Chow of Sorrel. Please be in touch if you need help. The Metropolitan Hotel at 19 Macquarie Street offers accommodation to a family for the night. The Metropolitan Hotel, 19 Macquarie Street, offers accommodation to a family for the night. And TAA advised that flights into and out of Hobart this afternoon have been cancelled and can give no definite information on what will transpire regarding flights. Until such time as the aerodrome becomes serviceable again, they suggest that passengers due out of Hobart this afternoon leave a contact with the TAA office so that they can be advised as soon as there is any definite information. The time is now 5:22. Let's take another report from the patrol car. It's over now to Tim Flynn.
Thank you very much, Ken. Well, we have reports from Kingston and Taruna. Kingston slowly becoming to get under control. They still need help in these areas. People who live or come from these areas go down to Kingston and Taruna, which we're just doing a quick check on. Kingston, no real problems down there. The fires are burning. They have manpower down there. More would be appreciated, but only people from the area. Also Sorrel, those districts, fighters are needed in Sorrel and surrounding areas, also down around those beaches. Clifton Beach, Rokeby and past those, only people from those areas to go here and to help out in the way of fires. The wind, the only prevalent real danger at this stage of getting fires to become out of control again. Now back to the heart, more reports as they come to hand, back to the heart of Hobart, and the music man, a very hard working Ken Henderson.
In bushfires in southern Tasmania will be recorded as among the worst in Australia's history. The number of known dead has risen to 40, but there are still many unofficial reports of deaths. At last report late this afternoon, more than 630 houses had been reported lost. Again, the police know that the final total will be much higher. At least 50 other types of buildings, among them schools and churches, were lost to the flames, which raced across big areas of southern Tasmania in yesterday's great heat and gale-force winds. Australia's worst bushfires were in Victoria on what became known as the Black Friday of January 1939. It was Friday the 13th and 71 people died and 1,300 houses were destroyed. Damage was put at $40 million. So much remains to be seen and so much done that it would be foolish to attempt a final assessment of what yesterday cost Tasmania. Certainly, though, it will run into many millions of dollars. Mainland states, their peoples and governments and institutions have rallied to Tasmania's side in impressive fashion. The Commonwealth has appointed the Minister for Air, Mr. Howson, as coordinator of federal aid. Mr. Howson and other parliamentarians flew to Tasmania today. Over to ABC reporter James Ganane in Hobart.
A big relief operation has swung into action, spearheaded by the Army action in handing over Brighton Army Camp just north of Hobart as emergency accommodation for the homeless. 500 people will find refuge here. In Hobart itself, the town hall and the city hall and a huge cargo shed on the waterfront have been commandeered as emergency stores for blankets, food and other gifts pouring in from all over Tasmania and now starting to arrive from mainland states. The response has been described as magnificent, but many items are still needed. The relief centres have asked for babies' clothing and bunny rugs, for tin openers and candles. The government has appealed for anyone who has a weekend cottage or a spare room to make the accommodation available. The state of emergency proclaimed yesterday still exists, and the battle against fires goes on, mainly in areas which yesterday could not be reached through the wall of flame. North of Hobart, the tiny settlement of Mount Lloyd sent out another call for help today to fight fires once again bearing down on the area where already many homes have been lost. As dusk approached, the fire was reported to be under control. But mostly, today has been a time for tragic reassessment for the hundreds of families left homeless. This is James Ganane in Hobart.
Today, phoned the Lord Mayor of Hobart to find out what help Melbourne could give. The Carlton and United Brewery in Melbourne has offered beer supplies to the Cascade Brewery in Hobart, which was burned out yesterday.
The Navy also has joined the organisations throughout Australia who are offering every assistance to southern Tasmania. Submarine frigate HMAS Derwent is heading towards Tasmania at maximum speed to give any assistance required and is due to reach Hobart about midday tomorrow. The Royal Navy submarines HMS Tabard and Trump are heading to Tasmania from New Zealand and are due to arrive later this week. Derwent is equipped with the latest communication system which may prove invaluable for contact between Tasmania and the mainland. Meanwhile, insurance companies met today in Hobart to prepare plans for the earliest possible payment of fire claims. Insurance information centres are to be set up in the main fire areas to enable victims to report their losses and lodge claims as soon as possible.
The burning tragedy of southern Tasmania's blackest day is still a smouldering reality here 24 hours later. The memory of yesterday's Holocaust can be clearly seen in the eyes and on the faces of people everywhere you go. Red-rimmed eyes and quivering lips give sight and sound to the grim contest between man and nature at its most terrible. The stories of tragedy and courage, panic and calm, incredible losses and miraculous escapes are endless.
The ships are down, the lines are down, there's only a few houses standing. In our own street, we were the 12th house along, and there's one house standing in our garage, in our street alone. Two women in our own street were found this morning. Then relatives wouldn't know about it. There was mothers lying in river with their children yesterday, trying to keep them from the heat. There was smoke everywhere, and some people there have got very young babies. The car ride works with the lights, the only one in the world, I believe it is.
We took about a dozen fire hoses loose. Unfortunately, there were so many cars following us that we were blocked on the road. We couldn't retreat, and we left the truck, and so far as we know, it was all burnt out. So on the way back, we were evacuating people, persuading them to leave their homes because of the danger. Many people were not even prepared for evacuation, nor were they ready to take anything of importance to them, a change of clothing, and there was a general panic in the whole area. We evacuated the Anglesey Street School and got the children out, marching in order, and cleared the school entirely of personnel. The personnel there, we got them going towards the water, towards the river. That's the last we saw of them. The smoke was so thick. The children were at school, daughter was at teacher's college, the wife was there. I sent her out to the truck stall on the way, and she had to jump in a dam and stop there all day.
Two men came along in a car and they said, "You better come with us." And I said, "I want to go back and play the children." They said, "You wouldn't get up in your life. It's the plane hasn't got to there yet." And she said, "Yes, it will." And they just picked me up. I said, "Oh, but she's..." My dad had a dog and a pal.
Shortly after lunchtime, emergency organisations had swung into full-scale operation. First aid and refuge centers were established in community halls, in schools, and in other buildings deemed to be safe from the devouring fires. The Hobart City Hall became a relief and information center.
The City Hall, at the request of the Director of Civil Defense, was set up last night at approximately 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and we have to date treated just over 230 casualties. These mainly have been minor burns and eye troubles, and that the result of some firefighting and all the other things. Matter of fact, we've had quite a number of people that have been homeless that also have been hurt and naturally ended up here, and it's been a rather pathetic sight. We've had mobile units out in at least four areas. At one stage, we had a mobile unit in Richmond, and at one stage, 60 people were lined up outside waiting for treatment.
The main inquiries is people who are destitute, people in need of clothing, food, that type of thing, and of course, we're taking their information on their position with their home. And the bigger majority of them seem to have lost their home completely, and they've only got out what they sent in.
Offers of help are pouring in from everywhere. Help is needed and will be welcomed, but the extent of the help required is as impossible to calculate as the extent of the damage done. The death toll at 3 o'clock this afternoon stood at between 40 and 42. There may still be others, particularly in the badly hit Margate area south of Hobart. Most of the deaths were those of elderly people. The very young were very lucky. 616 homes, including 312 in Hobart, and 50 premises have been destroyed. They include two hotels, two schools, and Southern Tasmania's only brewery, the historic Cascade. Thousands of head of livestock have either been burned to death or are being destroyed. Tens of thousands of acres of forest, pastoral land, and land in towns and the suburbs of Hobart have been burnt out. But it is the human loss, both in life and in personal possessions, which hit home hardest. The human effort to fight to help themselves and others was tremendous.
Of course, at the early stage of the fire, we came across the women who were panicking a bit, and men also, not just women, but we found people who were panicking. But as the thing steadily worsened and came nearer home, I found that the sort of panic turned to a confident sort of attitude. I can't really explain it, but people have sort of ceased to panic anymore and realised that they must get on and do something. And I found people are not just sitting around accepting it, but making some provision that if it came any worse, they'd have some means of escape.
Late this afternoon, all organisations involved in helping the homeless and in mopping up operations reported that everything possible is being done. They are tired, but by no means ready to quit. Clothing, foodstuff, bedding, and offers of accommodation to the homeless are flooding into the relief centres. Reunions between parents and children, husbands and wives, friends and relatives have become commonplace. No one dares guess at the final price of this Black Tasmanian Tuesday. It will be tens of millions of dollars, that much only is certain. Today, the weather is kinder, with a light, cool breeze contrasting with the searing northerly gale of yesterday.